The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
You might have heard about us on Facebook. It's The Nate Darling Show. Featuring Jason Casey, Sam Platts, Kareem Daniels, and Diana Hong. And now, from the chair behind all the knobs and switches, here's Nate.
All right, so there's a long list of people at the beginning of the show. And one of them is here. Hi, Jason.
What's going down?
Co-hosts, apparently.
Yeah, dying by the minute.
It's true. Well, no.
No, they're not. Not really.
Their cars. Their cars are dying by the minute. Kareem, we knew, was going to be on the East Coast in North Carolina, so he is off this week. Little surprise from Sam. Apparently, his transmission in his car went kerflooey.
That's the worst.
Yeah, so he's not here this week. You might not be here next week. In fact, I'm planning for you not to be here next week.
I will know better by Thursday, Friday. It's one of those things where you're installing a new web system and you never know how it's going to go at work. You never know how it's going to go.
It's true. And I spoke to Diana Hong today.
Yes.
Do you want to know what she had to say?
That she hates me.
광명성 3호 2호기 위성 발사 성공.
So that's what she had to say.
I'm sorry, Diana.
No, she's getting a work schedule change coming up. So,
oh yeah.
Basically, she works. She's got this weird shift now where she has to be in at 5 a.m. So, yeah, recording at night not really an option for her. But that's apparently going to change soon. So. Hopefully we'll be hearing her live and in person and not just recorded.
서해 위성 발사장에서 운반 로켓 은하 3을 통한 광명성 3호 2호기 위성의 발사가 성공했습니다.
You know, enthusiastic as always, and I think that's the important thing. So joining us is my friend Jay. Hello, Jay.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, I'm not so sure I want to be here anymore since bad luck seems to befall whoever shows up here.
Well, no, Kareem's fine. He just went to visit family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Diana got a job.
Well, so long as my transmission stays fine.
Well, you know, never know. It all could be good things that happen to people.
Sure.
I think really the advice here is don't get your car the same place you would get a low-budget hooker.
Well, that's definitely not.
Well, Craigslist, but sure, yes.
Oh, yes.
Pep Boys. Manny Moe and Jackoff. That's what they're doing.
Well, you know, I had plenty of bad luck leading up to here, so maybe I just got the karma to cash in.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Welcome to good luck. Mm. Coming up on the show today, Manny Pacquiao says some bad things about gays. We'll talk about that. Airline seats, will they regulate how wide they are? Will they not? We'll discuss. Plus, we've got some Kanye Jenner Kardashian news bitchiness going on. It'll be an interesting talk about. But first, Jason, how was your week?
My week was it was good. Yeah, it's been a good week. We are like totally into the home process now, like buying a home. We're pre-approved.
Yeah,
like, for real. Got the paperwork. Working with one guy, but open to other people if they can bring something better to the table. So if you're listening and you're a realtor, hit me up.
Actually, I do know a realtor who is also a fan of the Mike O'Mara show. I met her at a meetup, and she gave me her card. So I will go ahead and I'll give you, remind me before you leave.
I will remind you.
And I will let you take a photo of said card, and then you can hit her up and let her know that I sent you.
Awesome.
Yeah, she was actually the realtor for one of my coworkers. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. As long as she knows West Sac and, like, the Central Sac area.
The one on the west side.
Well, she's from New England originally, so you know she's all right.
Yeah, you know she knows. She knows Sacramento really well.
Well, she's been here since, like, the early 90s, so she's fine.
Yeah, so she's seen it.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Yes, welcome to the land of huge, fat tax deductions, really.
Sacramento
and constant, you know, homeownership.
Oh,
homeownership,
yes. Yeah.
Headaches and tax deductions.
Oh, well, you know, they
get all of that going on. We officially booked the wedding venue and date, so that happened, and we will be getting married on Black Friday.
Or White Friday.
No, Black Friday. The nice thing is it's an evening wedding, so any of the guests of the wedding can still sit in line at the Best Buy if they want to get like $100 off a TV, if it's that important.
If that's that important. Yeah.
Whatever is important.
Full dress, of course.
Well, it's the morning. You got plenty of time.
Maybe that's what I'll do before I come to the wedding, if I'm invited.
Right.
I'll camp in my suit.
And what I'll do is I'll be like, hey, I got this for you this morning. I could not pass up the deal.
Is it a fat stack of cash? Because that's what I'm hoping for.
Westinghouse television.
Jay will be at the wedding. He will be two spots over to my left, I believe. I'm not sure. You got bumped down from best man at my last wedding.
That's fine. Seeing how it failed, that wasn't an audition to do it again.
It didn't go well. So when I asked Hootie, he goes, "Well, what about Jay?" I said, "Well, how did it work out last time?" got bumped down the line. So that's the big news. Is we have a venue booked, we have a date booked. So. All the rest of the stuff can sort of fall into place.
Plus, awesome. I would have, if you had asked me anyway, I would have suggested Hootie because you deserve some fresh material for your roast there at the reception.
I don't know. We're gonna have a sweetheart table. I'm doing a monologue.
Of course you are.
You're roasting yourself.
There's no best man toast. It's not really a roast. I fall more into the Donald Trump model of public speaking, in which it's a lot of self-aggrandizement. Because I think that's probably
this
best.
This wedding's going to be huge.
It is going to be huge.
It's going to be huge.
You know what's going to be huge? The cost of the wedding. It's going to be huge.
Most luxurious.
It's going to be big. It's going to be exciting.
It's going to be the most. Oh, it's going to be the most luxurious.
The cool thing is the venue where we're having it at Vizcaya, so it'll be right here in town. They allow you to bring in your own alcohol, so we are going to go to Yolo Brewing Company here in West Sac, and we are going to make our own signature beer.
Bam.
For the wedding.
So, are you going to wait until the wedding to pop the top on some of that?
Well, you can't make it that far ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm sure, right?
So, I don't know. We may
2 months?
I think the batch is... You can either do a certain number of bottles, the bomber bottles, which are 22 ounces, or you can do like 2 kegs. So I think what we're going to do is, if they let us, we're going to do a keg and then the rest in bottles.
Good.
Which will be nice because I don't really, I mean, yes, I do want a keg around the house, but my wife would be someone who does not want a keg around the house.
That's who wouldn't. Okay.
What if you got like a little kegerator or something?
Again, she's not in favor of that. I've suggested that. I've suggested that would be delightful to be able to.
She's like, you're not putting a kegerator in this.
Perhaps
house.
You should reconsider this marriage.
Well, she lets me use the office here for the podcast studio. So there's that.
Little give and take right there.
Right, exactly. I get that. And of course, my cats who were dealing with a problem with their.
Yes.
With their urine tract and that they're expelling it in places they shouldn't. But we went to the vet and the vet called me and she called me like 7 o'clock at night, which is well after they're normally closed.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I was fully expecting to call you and say it's a behavior problem, but they came back and tested positive for crystals, both of them.
Oh.
So hello, prescription cat food.
Mm. That's
expensive, yes, it is.
At the same time, at least it's something that's fixable.
Yeah, they've been on it for about 3 days. They're still having a few issues here and there.
Right.
I mean, we've been dealing with it by sort of pee-proofing stuff, but I'm hoping that within the next couple of days, it just completely stops.
Yeah, you know, there's that school of thought that once anything has been marked, be it a rug or a piece of furniture or whatnot, then it doesn't matter what you do, wash it or douse it in whatever cleaner, it'll forever bear the scent, attracting further markings. My roommate has pretty much gone and thrown out all of her bathroom rugs.
Well, thanks, Mr. Adopting. Positive.
I know, right? Well, you know, I like to keep it real. Keeping it 100 here is what I'm saying. Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Nate.
Well, I got
you might
just
have...
throw everything out, or do what I did and cover everything in shower curtains, like a house in West Palm Beach.
Well, we sort of did, in that it's a day bed that they've been doing it on, and we've got all of the mattresses on that day bed in waterproof mattress covers.
Okay.
So we do have that. It's not like, and anytime there's been an accident, we've wipe it up with the alcohol wipe, and I've got a couple of different anti-marking sprays.
Just put aluminum on everything. Just wrap everything in aluminum, and they'll be like,
"You know what?
What
I'm going to do? I'm going to build it. I'm going to take that whole thing, and I'm going to build it like a tin roof, with a rain gutter.
There you go.
With a rain gutter that runs off into a...
little pool.
Sure, sure. I was going to go pint glass.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I'm like talking like a Barbie pool.
And then I can drive around and throw it out the window at hobos.
It's so, like, this is, when we say hobo, we're talking, like, not the jolly hobo, like, the guy with the little pack and the satchel and,
nope.
Like, is, like, hitching on trains. Or are you talking about, like...
Pushing a shopping cart.
Yeah. I'm talking about the person for whom the dousing in cat pee would be an improvement in their smell.
Oh, poor guy.
It's true.
So what? Poor.
I'm kidding. I'm not going to throw urine on homeless people. Just for the record. unless they start something,
yeah.
Yes, often because the cops care. You yeah, fucking high.
The cops do not care.
Let me. I had a conversation with a cop a few years ago, and what she said was, "How do you tell when a homeless person is lying to you? Their lips are moving.
Yeah, it was,
they have no trust for them. Mm-hmm. None." Yeah. So anyway, we're all set with that. Some sad news this week, though. Big Ange from the Mob Wives passed away, lost her battle with cancer. She had lung, brain, neck. I think there might have been another one on there. And it was less than a week after she appeared on the Dr. Oz show. So there's some proof that Dr. Oz isn't going to help you much. Because he promised, I'm going to do everything we can.
Take some
to help you,
coffee extract.
Which is absolutely nothing, yeah. Because once you have cancer that spreads as much as she had cancer that spread, mm-hmm. There's really not a lot. You know, it started out in her neck, and then brain, lung, and once chemo doesn't do anything, it's only a matter of time. So like 6 days after she was on Dr. Oz, she passed away, which is sad. She's only 55, but a lot of smoking. And the reason I bring it up, not just to bum everybody out, she was honored at a disco wake in Brooklyn. That's right, a disco wake. Because nothing is classier than Italians.
Hey.
Exactly. By the way, I found out not only did they have this disco wake, they had five different wakes for her, which I have never heard of. Have you ever heard of doing five wakes?
Different themes?
Not since Lincoln's body was carted around the country by horse and buggy have they had this many wakes for somebody. So that was... Do you want five wakes, Jason?
No, I'd say, like, you know, I don't want to prolong the... I want them to be sad, but not so, you know... Not like 5 days sad, you know, that's kind of... I'm not like traditional,
five,
like...
Five separate events.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, five separate events. I mean, that's... Unless it's that many people, you know, then shit, yeah, throw
and,
a rager.
And then the next thing is they told one member of the Mob Wives cast that she was not welcome at the wake. Mm-hmm. And they told a couple of different ones, including that the one, Karen Gravano, daughter of Sammy the Bull Gravano, that they were not welcome at the funeral either. So that made them sad.
So, so because it was a mob event, they had to make sure to make separate ones so the people that weren't honored at one could go to the other.
Yeah, I have no idea what the whole thing
makes
was.
Sense.
And that and the cast of Mob Wives. Now, Mob Wives is on Wednesday nights on VH1.
Okay.
This is the final season. And the cast members were like, VH1 shouldn't air the episode of Mob Wives this week in honor of Big Ange. And we're like, No. Fans actually want to see Big Ange alive.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, but we're sad and mourning. So, to which I reply,
DVR it.
DVR it.
Yeah.
DVR it, bitch.
Yeah.
Go ahead and be sad as long as you like and get a marathon in
Everybody's
later.
Everybody's opinion doesn't matter.
It's true. Not to VH1, because they go, fuck you. We're owned by CBS. CBS, fuck you.
Hey.
That's their
what?
Motto.
Yeah.
Why don't you pour a big hot cup of fuck you?
It's true. Speaking of CBS, Stephen Colbert, the new host of The Late Show on CBS, he had some words and advice for Hillary Clinton as she was leading up to the Nevada caucuses last week.
The big question in Vegas is, will luck be a lady tomorrow? Or will luck be a cranky old man in a rumpled suit? And something has emerged. Something has just emerged. Just last night. That is potentially damaging to Hillary Clinton's campaign, and it's Hillary Clinton. It's true. who has been dogged by questions of trustworthiness. And here she is yesterday with our good friend Scott Pelley.
You know, in 76, Jimmy Carter famously said, I will not lie to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to tell you, I have tried in every way I know how, literally from my years as a young lawyer all the way through my time as Secretary of State, to level with the American people.
Some people are going to call that wiggle room that you just gave yourself.
Well, no,
always tried to.
No, I mean, always
Jimmy
tried
Carter
to.
Said, I will never lie to you.
You know, you're asking me to say, have I ever? I don't believe I ever have. I don't believe I ever have. I don't believe I ever will. I'm going to do the best I can to level with the American people.
How can you be this bad at it? Just say no. Just say no. You're running for president of the United States. Even Richard Nixon knew to say, I am not a crook. He didn't say, it has always been my intention, as far as I believe, I will do the best I can not to be a crook. Will you lie is the home run of campaign questions. You just say no and then touch all the bases. These are not advanced communication skills. Any child knows how to answer that question. And here to prove it is an actual child. Come on out here.
So then he brings out a child to explain how you can lie about the fact that you're not going to lie.
The concept of the white lie that you... Everybody knows you're lying, but it's the answer you're supposed to give.
She still won in Nevada, but barely. Barely.
But barely.
Barely. She now leads in delegates by one over
Now, does
Bernie
that count
Sanders.
The superdelegates?
You know,
yeah.
I don't count the superdelegates. Yeah. I have no idea. I'm not really that into it. It doesn't matter. We won't know until Super Tuesday.
Ah.
That's where all the superdelegates get together and compare superpowers
right.
At the Hall of
super
Justice.
PACs
and just
super,
and they're like, is the Republic going to revolt if we don't do what they're telling us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
They will.
Yeah.
There was a very similar thing. I was reminded by Christiana that it was a very similar thing in 2008 when Barack Obama was leading and Hillary Clinton had all the superdelegates, and the superdelegates ended up falling in line. So if Bernie can manage to hang in and pull ahead, then the superdelegates will fall in line. Because they kind of have to.
Yeah, because they don't want to deal with mad mobs of people
well,
who are, like, hanging out.
Especially since the entire Bernie campaign is built on the idea that it's time for a political revolution.
Like, yeah. Nobody wants a brokered convention where the superdelegates will be the votes in play, but I've seen the Democrats do dumber things as well, so
there's,
who knows?
Yeah, there'll be a lot of... Here's the thing, too. You know, there'll be a lot of disenfranchised people that are Democrats, but in the long run, who are they going to vote for? Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Or Cruz?
Ted Cruz?
Yeah. No, they're not. They will end up... Because the populace, it's one of the... I mean, you know, it's...
Well, a lot of people will just stay home.
Yeah.
Because the idea that a lot of Bernie supporters have is that if it's not Bernie, then there's no point.
I hope they don't, because we are in a year where it will matter for your local elections,
right,
for people
right.
that you're getting into the power positions, House of Representatives, the Senate. Those people right there are the ones that will fall in line with the revolution also. So
how can you really ignore as a political party on Trevor Noah's show, on Colbert, I'm sure elsewhere as well, whenever the host mentions or Bernie's name get you know pops up somehow, the crowd immediately like lets out a cheer.
Yeah,
like, you know, Bernie said, "Woo!"
In wrestling terms, he is over. He is over as a babyface.
Yeah, so I don't know how really the powers that be on the Democratic Party can just ignore the sheer enthusiasm for the under 30 set for Bernie.
They're betting on the money.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
They're betting on the money.
Absolutely.
All right, speaking of money, Kris Jenner described her ex, Caitlyn Jenner, formerly Bruce, as the worst dressed of New York Fashion Week. Ooh, catty, right? No, it was just a joke, because Caitlyn stole her outfit. The 60-year-old momager appeared on Fashion Police, where she discussed the attire of her former spouse, who was known as Bruce before her transition, and admitted that she didn't like the shoes teamed with the skirt, before revealing she was jealous of the footwear.
Momager.
That's what they call her. Speaking on the E! Show, she said, My worst, I think, is going to be Caitlyn, and here's why. I can't handle the shoes with the skirt. The second reason is because I really would like to have had that outfit for myself, and she kind of stole it. I'm a little jealous. I'm a little angry that I didn't get that skirt, to be honest. How weird is that? I mean, no offense to the transgendered community, but how weird does that have to be?
Well, what I just think is, like, the first thing I noticed in this article is when they refer to Caitlyn as Bruce. Like, I thought we were past that point.
Well, no, they're just what they didn't refer to Caitlyn as Bruce. They said Caitlyn used to be called Bruce. In case you're confused,
right?
In case you just came back from it's really for Matt Damon's character from The Martian.
I guess that's what I'm saying is there's no need to say that. We all know what's going on here. If you don't know what's going on here, then just you're fine to be in the dark about it.
I mean, 진입했습니다. 거듭 말씀드리겠습니다.
I'm sorry.
12월 12일 평안북도 절산군 서해 위성 발사장에서
I realized, Diana, that I should not right. I should not comment on that stuff.
Caitlyn is a beautiful woman. She is a hero and an inspiration.
It's true.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
It's absolutely true.
I'm sorry, Diana.
South Park. But it wasn't all great news for Kris Jenner this week. She had a dream sort of come true. She was allowed to introduce Culture Club at the Forum in Inglewood, and the crowd really wasn't on her side.
Culture Club. She's the momager of the century. Star of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Kris Jenner.
Good evening. From the moment I heard about Boy George back in the 80s, I was completely obsessed. Not only with his music, but inspired by his amazing fashion and style. I wanted the hat, the eyebrows, the red lip, and the blush. Meeting him last summer in France was exciting and the start of an awesome friendship. And he even celebrated my 60th birthday with me. The lasting influence of the next band can be heard among all
people.
The biggest names in music today, from Sam Smith to Adele. They're genre bending and gender bending, giving millions of people the confidence to be themselves. Wow. They simply define the decade. Give it up for iHeartRadio and the Culture Club.
I love the guy who thought he was going to help by shouting people. Down the crowd. Hey, people!
The most compelling argument started with people.
What are you, the iHeartRadio vice principal? Fuck you.
Hey, kids.
My goodness.
Hey, kids. You be quiet for the substitute right now.
Right?
I haven't heard such sustained booing since a black guy touched a puck in Boston.
Oh, wow. Harsh, but true.
Boo.
Harsh, but true, yes.
That was crazy.
How can the people be ignored? They've spoken.
Yeah.
Yet there she is constantly.
I thought that was a South Park episode. Like, I thought we were listening to a South Park episode.
The lustful.
Hey, guys.
And not enhanced at all.
No,
that is dead on. Yeah, mic the crowd. See what happens.
Normally you get the crowd tires of booing after about 30
that
seconds.
Was like, and that,
no, it fed upon itself.
Yeah, that was like a sustained boo. Like, and like you didn't hear people adding air. Like
No.
Boo.
Like it was a long sustained minute 30 of
it was
booing.
Like Houdini with his breath holding skill.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, it was like a circular breather, you know, doing the didgeridoo.
Well, yeah, it was. I think they just started in the front and went to the back, and they took every row and breathe at a different time.
The wave of booing.
Yep.
It was a wave of booing. It was like that row, row, row your boat, row, row, row your boat.
Boo. And to wrap up our Kardashian coverage, singer Kanye West, Kardashian, tweeted that, quote, white publications need to stop commenting on, quote, black music, since white people simply can't understand the descendants of slaves. He tweeted, to Pitchfork, Rolling Stone, New York Times, and any other white publication, please do not comment on black music anymore. He then went on to tweet, I love, love, love white people, but you don't understand what it means to be the great-grandson of ex-slaves and to make it this far. He then tweeted, the system is designed for colored people to fail, and one of our only voices is music. One of our only ways out is music. All right, I'll buy that. Mm. And then he sort of meandered a bit, saying, "Don't tell me LeBron had a bad game. What your jump shot look like?"
That's true, though.
It is, but then nobody can criticize anybody.
It's like ESPN might as well just close up shop.
Yeah, none of that.
If you need to be better than LeBron to talk about it, anything basketball.
I want to put this on a shirt.
Shut the fuck up and enjoy the greatness.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, that's that got 110,000 likes.
Yeah, two things. What strikes me about it, of course, is what triggered this rant, if you looked into it, is because Pitchfork gave him a 9 out of 10.
On his new album.
he took this level of offense because his album got given a 9 out of 10.
He wouldn't be Kanye West if he could just accept the compliment.
Like, how dare you give me... Where does that point deduction come from? How dare you?
Well, you remember a few weeks ago, he got into a Twitter feud over less than anything, and he went off and 17th. He was like listing all the things that made him angry, and he got to like 20. Mm. I mean, most people count to 10 and take a deep breath, and they're not mad anymore. He got to like 17. And he was still going.
Greatest rant of all time.
That was awesome.
He also tweeted, "Pitchfork, the album is a 30 out of 10. He clearly doesn't understand how math works, which is why Mark Zuckerberg is not going to give him $1 billion for his ideas.
Yeah, but what he is going to be able to do is put a book together and call it, you know, Kanye's 2016 Twitter Fest or some shit like that, and sell a book and make...
You know what? That would be a great back-of-the-toilet book. You just sit down, you go in the morning to drop your morning deuce, and you just start reading Kanye's tweets.
I'm going to let you finish.
We should. I mean, let's look into that, guys.
It's the greatest deuce of all time.
hey, Mark Zuckerberg, I have an idea for Kanye's ideas.
Mark, come on. I only want $5 million.
Oh, and here's the best part. Let's be green about it, and the pages can be ripped out and used to wipe your ass.
Oh, hey. That means it has to be quadruple ply. Mm-hmm. Because you only want one sheet at a time.
It'll be the most absorbent... the most absorbent Twitter feed ever.
Well, written by the self-absorbed and extra absorbent. And of course, the other thing, as you mentioned, this idea that in order to criticize, be it art or sports or whatnot, you necessarily have to be better than the person you're criticizing, which you hear all the time. Like, oh, so-and-so had a terrible performance in net tonight. Well, I don't see you doing any better. Shut up.
That's right.
Well, Shut up.
I didn't see them slaying the dragon where I worked either.
Yeah.
And by the way, if I were as bad at my job as they were at their job today, I would be in talking to my manager for about 30 minutes about why I was having a shitty day. Is there something wrong at home? Because if there's not, we really need to talk about your performance today.
I did have one Facebook friend who completely forget, kind of go on one of those tangents like, well, you're not better than him, so who are you to criticize? I'm like, well, it's funny. Weren't your last 9 tweets criticizing President Obama? Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, how did you do as president?
Right, exactly.
How did you do as president?
How were you as a Harvard law professor?
Yes, exactly.
How were you as a Kenyan Muslim? Oh, wait. That's not at all what it was. Well, maybe it was. Maybe that was one of the tweets.
Maybe, perhaps.
Kenyan Muslims. All right. So before we get to Cooler Tool, because that's the important part, I want to remind everybody to do your Amazon shopping through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Thanks to everybody who's already doing it. It's super duper easy. Go to the website. You may even be there now. Click that Shop Amazon tab at the top and then just shop like you normally would. It does not cost you anything extra. It helps support the show, and we do appreciate it. So go ahead and make that happen on a daily basis. Go ahead and bookmark it. Have some fun with it. Be all that you can be. Treat yourself.
Pray on it.
You can pray on it. Yeah. You can do whatever you want. And now it's time for...
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
Speaking of... First up in Cooler Tool, Kris Jenner. Jason?
I'm going to go with Tool on this one.
Okay.
It's hard to go with anything but Tool. I don't realize how... I've never seen, I think, someone not realize their 15 minutes are up, but then again, I don't know. I don't get it.
They make $75 million a year each, so I don't know that they're up yet.
I don't get it.
But, yeah. Tool. Yeah, absolutely Tool. But effective...
Mm.
But
not
with the iHeartRadio crowd. Up next in Cooler Tool, booing, Jay.
Booing, I think is cool. I think we should adopt the Euro model of whistling instead.
Mm.
But, you know, there's something, you know, red-blooded American about booing.
Because whistling, there's a lot of people who can't do that.
True.
So, Jason?
Myself included.
I would say here's the thing. If you've ever been on the receiving end of a boo,
boo,
you know, it sucks. It really does. So I'm going to have to say that booing is a tool, such a tool, like a pneumatic tool, you know? Mm. That's what I'm talking about.
I think it is a tool of justice. Boo.
Tool of justice, I like that.
Booing is cool. I mean, it's how you voice your individuality. It's how Americans do it. And finally, in cooler tool,
in the big crowd.
Finally, in cooler tool, Kanye. He seems to be in a lot. Jason,
I'm. You know what? I'm gonna definitely go against the grain on this one. I'm gonna say cool. You know, let your freak flag fly, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Let your hey, if it was the 70s, people would be saying, let your freak flag fly, do whatever you're going to do, do you, bro. And that's the way I look at it. He's like, do you, dude? I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. And that's how I feel.
Jay?
I'll quote the South Park episode that was concerning Bono and a particularly large piece of feces. even if you do occasionally do nice things and great things and have occasional strokes of brilliance, you can still be you can still be a piece of shit. It's hard for me to justify calling Kanye anything but tool.
You know what I'm going to say about Kanye? I'm going to give him a rating that he would give himself. On a tool scale, he's a 30 out of 10. 30 out of 10. Nice job. Well done.
I think that's the highest you've ever gone.
You know what? He keeps topping himself, so you do have to give him credit.
He's going to be the fucking, he's going to be the best at whatever. You know what I'm saying?
I'm the best. I'm going to let you finish, but that was the best tool of all time.
It's true. Got to give him props for that. So that's cooler tool, and that is the definitive word on it. As always, no wagering. No wagering.
I'll hit you back next week.
You know, I try to put together the show and not have anything from the Kardashians or Kanye, but they're just so omnipresent right now. Although, Keeping Up with the Kardashians just ended their season. I'm sure they'll be back in a month with a new one, but they go, they come back. And, of course, Kanye dropped his new album. So he's everywhere.
He's on every episode.
And the show Cocktails with Chloe, which is quite possibly the worst show ever put to tape, even though they don't put things anymore.
It's going to get more episodes than the Pat Sajak show. Just think about that.
Just think about that.
It may not, because Pat Sajak was on every night, and Cocktails with Chloe is once a week.
Yeah. We're going by show count rather than duration, I suppose.
I always go by show count. That's how I roll.
The magic hour.
All right, so Manny Pacquiao said bad things about homosexuals this past week.
Tool.
Yeah, that was too easy. So TMZ went out and found another person of Filipino descent from the sports world, Dave Bautista, formerly of the WWE, also from the movies Guardian of the Galaxy and the latest Bond film. He's a full-fledged movie star now, folks. He had some choice words for Manny Pacquiao regarding his comments about gay people. Come on. You know you want to play. There we go.
Everyone's talking about Manny saying, you know, with the scriptures, saying that, like, you know, basically the scripture that he quoted said, you know, gay people should be stoned to death.
So my opinion on that is the idiot. My mom happens to be a lesbian, so I don't take that. I don't think it's funny. I feel like this: if anyone called my mother an animal, it stuck my foot in his ass.
Would you want to, you know, teach Manny a lesson?
No, I mean, you know, that's his opinion. That's his opinion, but I'm just saying I don't appreciate it.
You think an apology would ever?
No.
You can't change someone's core?
Yeah, you can't come back from that, man. There's no coming back from that.
Tim Bradley is going to fight.
You hope he gets his ass kicked?
No, it's not so much that.
It's not even that.
No, it's not that. I still look up to him as a fighter. It's just his personal views. You know, they're just I don't know where he's even coming up with this garbage. It makes me respect him a lot less, but I wish him the best, man. Stay healthy, and I still appreciate his talent. And, you know, he's a Filipino. But as far as his opinions, man, stick that shit in his ass.
And go with Christ.
You know. Here's the thing. He started out really strong, and then he circled back, and then he was like, "Well, but you know, it's all a bunch of shit." But you know, stay healthy. Much love and respect. What?
Yes.
What? How about just a big old fuck you?
Dave Bautista is like kind of like my new hero now. I mean, that's pretty awesome. That was...
big vacillating jerk off. Pick something and go with it, man. Come on. You know, here's the thing, though. I think the fact that he is a movie star now and is in a lot of movies sort of kicked into the back of his mind where he's like, I want to say these things. And I'm like, wait a minute, though. I can't be too outspoken. I'm in movies.
I think it was just the outright sense of it. He was probably really upset. I could see myself having that same conversation. Like, somebody springs it on me. I'm like, what the fuck?
At the airport.
Yeah. I mean, so at first it's going to make me pissed off. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go through the range of emotions. Then I'm going to be like, okay, I'm being a little bit hard on just his views on something. You know, it is what it is. You're allowed to have free thought. Fuck, man. I mean, you know. But I respect his fighting. I mean, I could see the whole thing. And then at the end he says, but really his opinion, you can shove it up his ass.
I don't agree with his opinion, but I will fight to the death to defend his right to say them while I put my foot up his ass.
Mm. What?
I don't know where he turned on a dime, but whatever. Whatever you want, Dave. Whatever you want. All right, so we mentioned it off the top. There is a chance to regulate airline seats right now. The question is, will lawmakers make it happen? The first elected official who is able to pass a law ensuring that airplane seats are large enough for human beings to sit in will be incredibly popular. At the moment, we are still moving in the opposite direction, though. Last week, an amendment that would set minimum dimensions of airline seats was shot down in a congressional committee by a 26-33 vote. The same week, we learned that Airbus has filed a patent application for airline seats that have storage spaces built in underneath the seats. Now, not the places where you slide your bag now, a storage space underneath the seat. What it means is passengers will not be able to stretch their legs out beneath the seat in front of them, which will not be a problem for the guy who flew next to Leslie on her last flight as he sat with his legs crossed in the middle seat. Leg room clearly not an issue for him.
Taking his shoes off.
Well, only when he put his feet back
right
up, because that's what you wouldn't take your shoes off to put your feet up. No, you do it when you put it back up. Anyway, that's a different story. So that would be really weird. Currently and into the foreseeable future, the airline business strategy of purposely torturing your passengers in order to spur them to purchase expensive upgrades continues. Representative Steve Cohen, who offered the failed seat size regulation amendment, plans to reintroduce it as a standalone bill. So, you know, Hillary, that might swing me back around to you. Just so you know, if you come out in favor of real airline seats, we might be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we're America. You know, I mean, I know the average size of the average size man, you know, is probably a little bit bigger because of, you know, we're Americans, but. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Certainly in the girth area. I mean, yeah. Well, and here's the thing that gets left out of. I was talking about cocks. Here's the real thing about the narrow seat. You can squeeze yourself into a narrow seat, but where are my balls going to go? Because if I have to jam my legs together, right? Are they going to go in storage under the seat? Because that's what's going to have to happen. I'm going to have to slam my balls into storage underneath the seat.
Please stow. Ouch! Please stow your balls underneath the seat in front of you.
In the upright and locked position. Please put your balls in the upright and locked position.
Yeah, you know, it's, of course, a libertarian point of view will be, you know, free market. If you want to have the seat be, you know.
Fuck that.
Yeah, but here's the way I look at it, though. I mean, for every time there's an air rage incident, it causes a flight to land somewhere where it wasn't supposed to, and then, you know, the various security guards have to rush in and arrest whoever got really upset about something or other. I mean, the more you pack them in, the more incidents you're going to have of people flying off the handle, yeah. Especially if they drank quite a bit before the flight in order to forget the fact that they're completely squeezed in. So, I mean, I think it is kind of government's job to kind of step in here, seeing how they have a lot at stake as far as, you know, taxpayer resources to kind of, you know, put in a minimum size for seats and such.
Well, they decide upon themselves. Like, it's not like they each go by a different standard. Like, they agree by what they're going to do with each other and make that the standard within all of them. You know, sure. I mean, it's not like they necessarily they all have the same size seats.
How tall are you?
Oh yeah, for me, it never usually matters. Okay, I'm 5'6".
So, it as someone, I'm 5'8", and I'm at the point where leg room is starting to be an issue. Somebody who's 6 feet tall has to be so miserable.
Well, that's why they should. There should be a. I mean, I think that it makes sense. A regulator, right? 5'9", make it 5'9", 6 foot tall.
No, they got me last time in buying for the Comfort Plus or Economy Comfort or whatever the hell they call it.
Oh yeah, I've upgraded legroom before.
Yeah, because last time I've done a flight complete, you know, in coach that wasn't an exit row or whatnot, it was just so miserable. I mean, you're just kind of like holding your breath and I mean, yeah, I'm a little pudgy, but I can fit in comfortably anyway. But then, you know, the passengers next to me are going to completely spill under my seat. It's just there's not enough room for every human being in that row.
I'm chubby myself. When I get in the seats, like,
well, it would be great if nobody had arms.
Yeah.
If you were, here's what they need to have. They need to have handles so you can put your arms up above your head. So when you fly, sort of like your strap hanging on the subway, and that would create the extra space needed. But when you put your arms down, you're already fighting over the fucking armrest.
Oh, it's the worst.
It is. And you know, I try and get the window seat, and I try and lean over so that the person who's stuck in the middle, because being in the middle seat sucks, has at least my armrest if the guy on the aisle is being a dick. Yep. And you know what? The guy on the aisle is usually a dick. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say it right out. Sorry, Leslie. The guy on the aisle is usually a dick.
Does she like the aisle?
She likes the aisle.
Oh.
Which works out fine because I get the window, she can see it. We don't fight over it. Although I did have one flight where I was in, it was me and my ex, and then next to her was this old lady, and across the aisle there was an old guy and then two empty seats. And it turns out they were a couple. And
oh boy. Wow.
We're crammed over there and he's got the whole row. And my ex goes to the old lady and goes, that's empty and we're kind of crammed in here. Wouldn't you like to sit over there with your husband? She goes, oh no, we both prefer aisle seats.
Yeah.
Those are the fuckers who are on the aisle. It's those assholes. Finally, one of the sky waitresses came through and found an empty, this was back when you could actually have empty seats on a plane.
Yeah.
Found an empty place and moved us to a different area and left that stupid dried up old cunt in her aisle seat across the aisle from her.
Who the fuck does that? Like, who likes, like,
selfish assholes?
I prefer the aisle.
Aisle people. Fucking aisle. Fuck you, aisle people.
Yeah. I mean, like, how about not so much the aisle people, but the people that are so, like, that would do that. Like, that's like a certain type of asshole.
Why would you like the aisle so much that you reject the thought of moving on to a seat where the seat next to you is empty?
Or just making the people next to you comfortable. It would make them more comfortable.
I would rather cram these other two people in and inconvenience them than sit over next to a window.
Yeah. Where I would have the comfort of an empty middle seat. I don't get it.
Yeah, you still don't have to touch your old dried up husband. I mean, it's fine. You'll be fine.
All the room.
Man, can you just imagine hating each other after that much time?
Yes, because I hate her that much. I have a feeling he might have moved, but she was not going to move.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it was one of those things.
So that's a matter of principle.
That's when you just got to slap a motherfucker. You're like...
So... In a post 9/11 world, you can't just slap people on a plane.
And end up on the no-fly list.
Right.
Like, I don't care. I'd be like, can you please get, there's plenty of room over there. Just go sit in there next to your husband. No, I like this.
Yeah.
Like that.
Just... Well, like I said, thankfully the flight attendant saw what was going on and there was an empty row and she said, would you guys like to move? And we're like, fuck yeah. She actually upgraded us to an exit row.
No, nice. We like to be miserable.
Yeah. She's like, no, this is just fine.
We've got some seats. We got some seats up here for you guys if you want to come up. And so we went and they were extra legroom seats. So we're like, yeah, sit there, you old bat. Mm. All right. So you remember a couple weeks ago, the Congressional Black Caucus endorsed Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And John Lewis, noted civil rights protester and leader John Lewis, proudly announced that he never saw Bernie Sanders back then and he didn't know who he was. Well, now a video of a young Bernie Sanders being arrested during a civil rights protest has surfaced. It's a 1963 video which shows the then 21-year-old University of Chicago student being arrested on the South Side during a segregation protest. A senior advisor for the Sanders confirmed the guy being arrested is indeed the presidential candidate. So that came out. So the video and also a still photo from the Chicago Tribune. So, hey, John Lewis, go fuck yourself. Yep. Civil rights icon John Lewis, go fuck yourself. Because you knew every single person who was protesting. You, Mr. All-Knowing and All-Seeing. Mr. Mm-hmm. Oh, let me align with the candidate who has all this PAC money.
I will say, in his defense...
Fuck you. Fuck you, Dave Bautista. Mini Bautista.
All right, I'd be a mini Bautista. No, but I mean, like, he did issue a retraction of it, like, saying, like, right afterwards, he did say, like, something along the lines of, like, I'm not saying that he wasn't there, he didn't do it.
You know what's odd? I heard the initial statement, I didn't hear the retraction. Yeah. Did he do that in his office? Did he whisper it to somebody? What the fuck was that? Because I look at news every week for shit like that, and I didn't see anything.
He said he went back on it.
Sure he did. He whispered it to somebody over cream of wheat at the cafeteria. That's what happened. Because he's old. All right. Speaking of Bernie Sanders,
Grumpy Nate.
That's right. Fucking people telling bullshit, and I have it. Well, despite his Nevada loss, Bernie Sanders is still pretty confident in his campaign, partially because of what he's hearing from his Democratic opponent. And you're like, what? I'll let Bernie explain.
We are doing better and better with Latino voters. We started way, way down, and now we're doing much better. And look, here's the other truth. The truth is that for a campaign that started off as a fringe campaign at 3% in the polls, we have enormous momentum. You have.
Okay, let me stop for a second. Mm-hmm. If you've seen the video, you'll know Bernie is not good at air quotes because he, you know, air quotes, it's the two fingers on each hand. He just did the whole hand, which is not air quotes. I don't know. It was just.
Whoa, hey, that was my air quote.
That's the microphone.
That's how you air quote on the microphone.
Yes. Noticed that one of the recent national polls actually had us ahead of Hillary Clinton. In state after state, her margin is narrowing. So I think people are responding to our message of a rigged economy where ordinary Americans work longer hours for lower wages and almost all new income and wealth goes to the top 1%. A corrupt campaign finance system in which billionaires are buying elections. I think our message is resonating. And obviously the proof of that is that Hillary Clinton is more or less echoing much of what we are saying. I think that indicates the success that we are having.
For the record.
Yes. She goes, hey, what he's saying seems really popular. I should say that too. I don't mean any of it, of course, because I'm just coming late to the party because, well... I just want people to like me.
Have you seen the latest in the SmackDown department where Bernie was Bernie's been asking Hillary to release her Wall Street paid speeches for a while.
Yes, and daily on Facebook there is a countdown of how long it's been since she said she would look into it.
Then Hillary apparently at some campaign event said, "Well, I'll do it as soon as everybody does it because Bernie Sanders does it too." At which point he has released the totality of his speeches to Wall Street, available in PDF, doc, or text format, all three of them having the quality of being blank.
none. Absolutely
here,
none.
Here we go, Hillary. Here's the total of my speeches to Wall Street, as you requested.
Yeah, I did see that, and he put a link to a speech that he gave at, like, a small bookstore.
Yeah, for $500.
Which he donated to charity. Yep. So there is a clear difference is what I'm saying.
It's one of those things that gets me upset. Like when I hear other people talk, like somebody else that I listen to on a podcast of, sometimes he talks about like Bernie Sanders wanting to give everything away for free. And
right.
And, you know, and like, it's like, have you, and like that he's a career politician. It's like, but he's like the right type of career politician. Like there's a difference between somebody that rose up through all of the levels of democracy as we know it. And a politician that's been in a paid spot and has come from money in the first place.
I think just the populace at this point just equates the word politician with partisan hack.
Yeah.
And you have somebody like Bernie who doesn't really have that track record of just saying, you know, whatever popular mood is saying. Didn't he support, for example, gay marriage way, way, way before it was anywhere near politically popular? voted against DOMA, etc.
Yeah, I'm not positive of that, so I'm not going to comment because I don't know for sure. But it's funny because they keep pointing out, well, he voted against the Brady Bill. But he has a D-minus rating from the NRA, so it's not...
Just because somebody voted against the Brady... He's also somebody that, if you look at it, like I read something about him having the most amendments than anybody else in things submitted to the Senate or Congress, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he does. He works with the other side and gets things accomplished. That's why it upsets me so much when people say he doesn't know how government works and he doesn't know how... He fucking has to know how it works. That's what his job has been for the last 30 years.
Or my favorite line of the day is, his net worth is only $300,000. Do we really want that to be president? In other words, he's that old and he's a failure is the implication because he only has $300,000 net worth.
That's all he needs. Like wealth is not like having millions of dollars. It's being able to survive and tithe and be able, whatever you need to do and be part of the community, not that you have to be. I talked to Sandra Day O'Connor on the phone when I worked at USAA. Mm-hmm. I spoke to Supreme. You want to know what her and her husband owned? Do you want to know what type of cars they had? They had fucking Buicks. All right. They drove.
Well, they were old, so.
But they were old. And she was retired Air Force, I believe. And he's retired Air Force, and she was at retired Navy, I think. Whatever it was, they both served the country and weren't driving BMWs and had like a bunch of property. They had a house and a condo, and that was it.
Everything they needed.
They didn't have millions of dollars. They weren't rolling in the Escalades talking to captains in the military and other people like that. They lived a common life of the people because that's who they represented and that's who they're working and fighting for.
And by the way, Nate, if you're not going to speak about things you know nothing about, then move to Russia because that's just not American.
It's true. It's true. I just didn't want to go into great detail of something I know nothing of.
Okay.
Because I don't need somebody to go, you were wrong about that. And it's like, I was wrong about that one thing. Congratulate. You got me. I was wrong about one thing. Because that's happened before. It happened with a former coworker who, after months, it was like late in the summer, he goes, and I said something that was wrong, and he said, aha, I got you. You said that, and it was wrong. I've been waiting, and you were wrong. And I said, what? He goes, back in January, he said, come and see me when I say something that's wrong. Well, you said something that's wrong, and I said, it's August. It's August. You got one thing, and it's August. How much time have you spent on this? How much time have you spent going?
Well, about 30 hours research every week.
What are you doing at work other than waiting for me to make a mistake? And it's been 8 months and you got one thing. One thing in 8 months.
One thing.
I make that because I don't talk shit unless I'm sure I'm right.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
That's right. So I don't live in Florida.
Oh, shit.
Yes. This week there was a man in Florida who was bored. So what do you do when you're bored? Jason, what do you do when you're bored?
Well, what I used to do was whack it. Mm. I would just sit in my room.
To Rosie O'Donnell. Sorry.
You're
it's not
to
fair.
Nice
he's not. He's not here to defend himself.
Actually, he is.
Oh, right.
That was me.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry, jeez. Okay, then that's completely fair.
Yeah, no. That's my spare time, as everybody knows on the show. I know the struggle.
It's fine.
So that's what I used to do.
Well, a DeLand, Florida man. Called 911 multiple times to talk about random topics, like Hitler and Jews. Mm. So he got arrested and charged with misuse of the 911 system. According to the police report, Michael Gilman, who's 28, called the emergency line 5 times in 5 hours on a Saturday after he was asked not to call unless it was an emergency. That's when they sent a police officer out to his home, where he heard Gilman still talking to the dispatcher, quote, about Hitler and the Jews.
911, what's your emergency? What about all the good things Hitler did?
When the officer asked Gilman what he was doing, he said he was, quote, talking to your dispatcher because I'm bored. He was then relieved of his boredom and taken to the Volusia County Jail. So,
do you want to act like you're the guy and I'll be the operator?
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you for calling 911. What's your emergency?
I'm really bored.
What's that?
I'm really bored.
Okay, so is that an emergency? Or is a crime happening?
Well, it's a crime that I'm this bored. It really is. I mean, There should be more to do, and I just want to have a good conversation.
This is not the right channel for that, sir. You probably should just hang up. I don't want to have to call the police on you.
Well, no, I called you. You're part of the police. I mean, that's the whole point.
I mean, I can have them come over to your house and arrest you.
You know who sent people over to people's houses to have them arrested? Hitler. He did that a lot. He would identify a problem and then find a solution and then sort of take care of it. You know, in some ways he would come up with like a final solution, not just a temporary solution.
Sir, my great grandfather died in the Holocaust.
Well, so you know. So you understand where I'm coming from here.
And scene.
I don't know if that's how it went down, but it could have. Also in Florida, a brawl broke out at a pizzeria after an order of garlic knots arrived with cheese on top.
No! Who the fuck does that?
Hitler.
I believe he was vegan.
A
Flagler County police report says 25-year-old Jessica Conti, which rhymes with cunty, it doesn't, but I like to say it, demanded her money back on Friday and was angered when the clerk put her money on the counter in what she considered a disrespectful manner. The Daytona Beach News Journal reports that three men then stormed into the pizza place and knocked a fax machine and a cash register off the counter.
Holy fuck, these people really like those cheesy knots. Fuck.
No, they don't like the cheese. Knots. They don't like the cheese.
They don't like fax machines. And by the way, they ordering pizza by fax.
They stormed so far into the pizzeria they made it back to 1996. They also threw food in pizza boxes. They left before deputies got there, but someone at the restaurant identified them, and they were tracked down and arrested. Jessica Conti, Vincent Conti, Hareem Jones, and Sean Cody were charged with burglary and criminal mischief. They were released from jail. It's unclear whether they've hired lawyers, and why would you look into that? You're a journalist in Florida.
It's refreshing to hear about Florida woman.
Well, you know. It was really a
Florida
combo.
Man a lot.
Yeah. Well, the women do plenty of things in Florida too. Check Twitter.
Oh man.
Have you ever been that angry about food? I mean, I get angry if they get my order wrong. I get it, but it's probably best to just chill out. If they give you your money back, just go, all right, fuck you, I'm never coming back here.
I can get pretty bent out of shape depending on like this last weekend we went to Finnegan's. Have you ever been to Finnegan's before? It's on Stockton and like 14th.
Oh, I know exactly the place you're talking about. I have not been there.
Good food, horrible service.
Oh, okay.
No, so we'd ordered, like had everything ordered, and the fuckers, like, then this other couple came in.
Ordered the same thing and took it out.
And got it like, and we waited like another 20 minutes after they got it. Like,
oops.
It was like they got our order. For sure.
Yeah.
And it was, I was looking at my wife and I'm like, she's like, Jason, calm down. But then she started getting angry too. And then I was like, oh, I better settle down because we're both going to go crazy and go negasonic on y'all.
It's true.
Negasonic. It's not just good. It's Sonica.
Yeah. So it's easy to get upset. But look, if you're going around looking for a reason to be disrespected, you're bringing it on yourself. I was disrespected.
Yeah.
Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
There's some cheese on my garlic knots. What the fuck? You get this fucking cheese off of this.
How dare you slam my refund on the counter.
Right.
What the fuck? You just dropped that shit in your drawer? Who the fuck?
It's terrible.
You're supposed to hand it back to me with a smile.
You're supposed to give me a smile? The customer's always right. You are showing some disrespect.
I guarantee you the term "the customer is always right" came out of her mouth.
I'm sure just like that, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. As I enjoy a sip of beer here, I want to remind you that there's good news. Drinking more coffee might help reduce the kind of liver damage that's associated with overindulging in food and alcohol.
Yes.
I know you've given up alcohol, but you still eat.
I still eat a lot.
Researchers analyzed data from 9 previously published studies with a total of more than 430,000 participants. Now, that's a scientific study, Jenny McCarthy. They found that drinking 2 additional cups of coffee a day was linked to a 44% lower risk of developing liver cirrhosis. That's right. I will stop to slam that bitch.
Yeah, fuck her.
Burn
By
word.
The way, her husband has come out and endorsed Marco Rubio because he's also an idiot.
Oh, I fucking, Jesus, I swear to God, I wish he would have gotten an NKOTB crash or something. I wish that would have been some Richie Valens stuff. fucking the day the fucking music died, part two.
Why couldn't he be on tour with Aaliyah?
Yeah. Oh my God.
we're being ghoulish.
I like Mark. All right, Mark's cool. He's a fun guy, but his brother. Mark, if I ever meet you, I'm sorry, but.
Your brother's a wicked asshole.
He's a wicked asshole.
He's a wicked asshole is what we're saying. Cirrhosis is potentially fatal and there's no cure as such, said the lead study author, Dr. Oliver Kennedy. Therefore, its significant risk of developing cirrhosis may be reduced by consumption of coffee, which is a cheap, ubiquitous, and well-tolerated beverage.
They haven't been to Sacramento lately.
It's true. Or to Starbucks. Do they have those in England? I don't know. I've not been to England. See, cirrhosis kills more than 1 million people every year worldwide. It can be caused by hepatitis infections, excessive alcohol consumption, immune disorders, and fatty liver disease, which is tied to obesity and diabetes.
Diabetes.
Kennedy and colleagues did a pooled analysis of the average coffee consumption across earlier studies to see how much adding two additional cups each day might influence the odds of liver disease. Combined, the studies included almost 2,000 patients with cirrhosis. In 8 of 9 studies analyzed, increasing coffee consumption by 2 cups a day was associated with a significant reduction in the risk of cirrhosis. So that's good news. And, of course, there'll be another study next week saying that study is bullshit.
Yes, of course.
Because
coffee causes liver damage. Causes cancer. Cures cancer.
The caffeine will keep you awake. Yes.
Well, because you roast the coffee beans, there will be some carcinogens in there from the burning of the oils.
You know what I want? I want the coffee that they keep in a cat's ass. That's what I...
Oh, some of that cat ass. Forget the name.
Cat ass. The serval cat.
Cat ass coffee.
Cat ass coffee. Wasn't that a coffee shop in Plattsburgh, New York? that was the coffee cat.
There was also a badass. So it's like if coffee cat and badass coffee merged.
All right, I'm now curious. I have to look quickly if coffee cat is still a thing.
The coffee cat.
I think it was a coffee cat with a K.
It was.
And I remember them having Costco muffins.
They have a Facebook page. Oh. Yeah, it's the Coffee Cat Espresso Bar, coffee shop and cafe. And yesterday, their Facebook update had Johanna, hailing from Alaska, gives us a sneak preview of her upcoming performance here at KK this Saturday evening. Don't miss it. She's playing a violin.
Awesome.
Speaking of,
they're 1K away from being the racist coffee shop
in
America.
They're also doing
the Coffee Cat Cafe.
They're also doing a bean poll where you take a coffee bean and you vote. They've got coffee cups with all the presidential candidates' names on it. And they spared no expense because they took notebook paper, tore it into squares, and wrote the names on it in Sharpie. How do I know this? Hillary Clinton's has a hole in it, so it would fit in a 3-ring binder, and it's all lined paper. So, yes, the Coffee Cat, Plattsburgh, New York. Go ahead. If you're ever in Plattsburgh, go to the Coffee Cat.
It's one of my, secret fantasies, dreams.
To go to Plattsburgh.
go to the Coffee Cat Cafe.
Do you want to check in on the sidewalk clearing situation?
Want to check out the sidewalks, make sure that they're all cleared.
That would be
clean.
A great man on the street thing. If I ever find myself in Plattsburgh again, I'm going to do a man on the street about clearing the sidewalks.
Yeah, you got to.
And do it on the sidewalk that hasn't been cleared.
Well, sure, unless it's summertime.
How do you feel about the sidewalk?
How do you feel about the city mandating that the sidewalk be cleared?
No, then you could be like, it's summertime. Why aren't you repairing these sidewalks?
We have
3 months. We have a scant 3 months to repave them.
I will go ahead and make that its own hour-long podcast because that's what we'll have. Then I will go and ask them, why are you tearing up South Catherine Street again? Did this 8 years ago. Did they do it that poorly that the road lasted 8 years? There isn't that much traffic on it.
They're obligated to dig it up every time they have to.
I had to go 3 streets down, 4 over to bypass.
There aren't that many streets in Plattsburgh.
they're not. There's only 2 ways to get everywhere.
Well,
and you know what we did here? It's what local news calls being hyper local. Although not to where we are now.
Local flavor?
Not to where we are now. But there are people in Plattsburgh who do listen to the show. So hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. How cold is it there? right now. Hold on. Now I'm curious again. I'm being distracted. We only have small town news left, so it's not really a big deal.
Yeah, we're almost
kind of
done.
On topic. We've kind of begun here, the small town news.
Oh, here we go. Oh, no, that's not it. 12901. By the way, that's the zip code for Plattsburgh, if you're curious. 12901, where as we record this, it is 29 degrees, and it feels like...
It's balmy.
29 degrees.
That's shorts weather.
That's swimming weather.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Today, Wednesday, the forecast is for a rain, snow mix and a high of 35.
That's not going to stop the Canadians.
And then Wednesday night, rain and 33, which means freezing rain.
I must say, freezing rain is the most awesomest thing in the fucking world.
Yeah, until you lose power for 3 weeks.
No, listen, going through it once as a California guy, like you're like, this is the coolest fucking thing ever.
So here's the fun thing. So Thursday in Plattsburgh, New York, is going to have a high of 46. Friday, the high is 19.
Yeah, that's typical.
Yeah,
I could not believe like how perfectly encapsulated like the branches. And everything, like, really, all you stupid Californians that have never experienced a true winter, you need to go to the East Coast at some point in your life where you can experience freezing rain coming off of that lake effect.
Yeah, you'll never complain again about the weather here.
Ever.
At all.
And you get to see the coolest, and, like, the sound that it makes. Like, you go outside and it sounds like everything's cracking and it sounds like crystal. It's
great.
It's amazing. It's fucking awesome.
It's great.
It's great.
You sound like someone from Vermont who's in California for the week and gets to experience an earthquake and goes like, oh, wow, that's great. So that's what an earthquake is like. Yeah,
except
if you've ever been through Loma Prieta, not so much.
Well, I
went through that.
Here's the difference, though.
I lived through that.
You can go and visit. If you go and visit the winter for like a few days, it's really cool. If you go and live there and winter is 6 months long, not so fucking cool.
Yeah, no, I got that. I get you there.
The Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
All right, this from the Grand Forks Herald. It's one of the go-tos if there's really nothing to go to.
North Dakota's news leader.
It is. Marilyn Haggerty has a column. Headline.
Just looking at the picture. I know what Marilyn Haggerty looks like. That's mean. I disapprove.
Red is good luck in the year of the monkey. And here's how the column starts. Dear Shirley, did you realize that you were born in the year of the monkey? You'd be able to ward off bad luck? At least that's part of the lore surrounding Chinese New Year, known as the Spring Festival.
Shut up.
Wearing red is considered a must to bring good luck for those born in this or another year of the monkey. I know this all because my daughter-in-law is Chinese.
Yes, that's
somebody's got that Asian swing.
Yes, that's why I know everything. I have a daughter-in-law who's Chinese. I'm an authority on these matters.
I doubt you're celebrating Chinese New Year down there in Tucson, but if anyone asks,
because there's no Chinese people there. There's not one.
But if anyone asks, tell them the celebration ends with the Lantern Festival on February 22nd.
No one asked.
Meanwhile, I've been reading a list of 10 ways to love North Dakota in February. For one thing, there's the Shiver Fest over at Devil's Lake running until Sunday. It includes kite flying and going around in a golf course on ice.
Yeah, kite flying at minus 10.
Here in Grand Forks on Sunday, we have the second bicycle fat tire bicycle race running 15 miles over the Greenway Trails and icy Red River Trails to the north. It begins and ends near the Rhombus Guys Brewing Company down on South 3rd Street. And this weekend, the annual parade of daughters and dads will begin for dinner and dancing at the Olerus Center. It's the 12th year of the dancers, and it will run Friday and Saturday again next week. Can you imagine us ever going to a dance with our Danish dad, Shirley?
Yes, I could. And
we would never expect such frivolity, but he did give us nickels to take to the ball games in the summertime. I just read anything you could buy with a nickel back in the 1930s would cost us 71 cents today. That's according to the inflation calculator provided online by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Who cares?
Well, I guess we shouldn't worry about money and just enjoy each day, whether or not it's the dead cold of winter or the grueling heat of summer. Time marches relentlessly on, much like this letter. I can hardly believe our Arizona snowbirds are already making plans for their annual breakfast in the Golden Corral restaurant in Mesa on March 3rd.
Yes, they're making plans to go to the Golden Corral. Shut up.
The hosts are Bob and Pat Wood and Carol Anderson. They're expecting more than 200 again this year. I'm still hanging on to a news story I clipped in November about a National Weather Service Climate Prediction Center looking for higher than average temperatures in North Dakota through March. They said it was because of the warm phase called El Nino. I think everything you read in your newspaper is true, Shirley. And you know, a promise is a promise. Love from your sister Marilyn, watching squirrels scamper around the backyard.
That's the highlight of her day. Right
P.S.
There.
A snowbird in Arizona has seen license plates Mum's Car and Love's Cats. P.P.S. A reader traveling in the South saw a sign on a church near Mobile, Alabama that says, open between Christmas and Easter.
Why?
So that's small town news.
Channel my inner Mel.
I can't get over the...
By the way, I love here's the brilliance. Let me just break down the brilliance of Marilyn Haggerty. The brilliance of Marilyn Haggerty is she had to write a column for the newspaper, and she probably should write a letter to her sister. And that insidious, clever old bitch combined it into one task.
Two birds with one boring stone.
And they printed it.
She's a crafty one. You got to watch her.
You know, if you haven't heard the name before, she was the one who became internet famous for a brief period of time, I think 2-3 years ago, for writing a very heartfelt review of the new Olive Garden that opened in town.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she started showing up on all these, like on the Today Show, and it's like, here's the North Dakota reviewer that it was so enthused over breadsticks.
Well, I think with their talk about inflation, with the nickel in the 30s being equated to 71 cents today.
Yeah.
Like, I think that she better be a Bernie Sanders fan. You know, seeing that type of inflation, that's not the truth.
She's probably voting for Trump.
Damn it.
It's entirely possible, yeah. Or worse yet, Ted Cruz.
Can't she see it right there? It's right in front of her. 5 cents is only 71 cents? Wait, you can't buy a soda for 71 cents.
Back in my day, yeah. No, she used to cost a nickel.
She would buy stuff to read.
To read? I thought it was...
No, to read.
I just read eight.
She wasn't in it for the soda. She was in it to expand her mind.
Yeah, you're right.
With all the good reading material.
A lot of good reading material.
You know, I guarantee Grand Forks doesn't have a free newspaper with a bunch of marijuana ads in it.
Well, they probably don't. They should.
Because that is... That's well, it's, should, it's, yeah. It's free reading.
What else is there to do?
Hey, that's small town news, and that's going to do it for this episode of The Nate Darling Show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Jay, for sitting in.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. That was fun.
Hey.
We should do it again.
We should.
Maybe Friday.
Sometime soon, yes.
Maybe Friday. Jason, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Hey, you know what, Nate... I think that I want to thank you just for being an awesome guy.
Thank you for being you.
Also, like another birthday, like happiness. You know, I know it's a little past, but you know.
Yeah, last week.
Happy birthday, everyone.
Thank you.
And also, I just want you to know you're pretty awesome.
Aww.
And everybody go to Amazon and shop.
Yeah.
Well, click through the website.
Get a brown neck.
That's true. He took a really deep breath before he went for that one. That's all I'm saying. Please enjoy the Black Keys as we wrap up this episode. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.